Is this thing on?
I'm sure I plugged it in. Is that plugged in over there?
Andy, is this thing on?
Check here. 1, 2.
Is this thing on?
Check. I have phantom power.
Yes!
Party on.
Here we go.
Welcome to Chicks with Gear, the podcast where three lifelong friends get together to drink some coffee, play some music, and talk about gear and our quest for the perfect acoustic sound on stage.
Yes.
I'm Deb.
I'm Julie.
I'm Andy.
Who's not a chick. He's our resident gearhead.
That's right.
And today is one of my favorite days because we are coffee and jam.
That's right.
And today we have with us in the studio one of our favorite people, Mr. David Spiker.
Woo! Yay!
Thank you. Yes. I like it.
And we've known JV, for a very long time.
Yes.
And what year do we meet you? Do you remember?
Y'all reached out to me in 1997.
Oh.
We were just wee children.
Yes. I think Dave was 5 and we were 10, right? Andy was 2.
Easy. No.
Yes.
Easy.
We played a lot of shows together.
We did.
On Broadway.
Weekly, sometimes bi-weekly. That.
Yes.
Yep.
We would do the show in the back and the show in the front on Wednesday nights.
Wednesdays in the front.
Sometimes Saturdays in the back. Wolfies, the Gibson Guitar Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Merchants, I don't think is there anymore.
No, it is not there anymore.
Very Market sad. Street.
Market Street, that's what it was, not Merchant. I don't know where that is.
That was down there, but it was a fancy restaurant. Merchants was fancy.
Oh,
play there. We also played B.B. King's. That was a really fun, cool place.
Yes.
They actually paid us there.
Oh.
Shocking.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Yes. Hey, shout out to getting paid.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, why don't you tell the fine folks what you play?
Well, with you guys, I play upright bass and kind of that, boom,
boom,
anyway, you know, like that.
Yeah, and it's not easy doing that in the window of Tootsie's, just saying.
No, that was a tight stage. I remember that because I was right by the steps, so I would wait till y'all got set up, and then I would throw my amp up real quick in just like a minute or two and plug it just straight into the amp at the because it was time. There was not a lot of time to set up.
No, because there's always somebody before you and somebody after you, so you got to be quick.
Yes, and getting the tips jar, making sure people didn't grab your leg as they were going through.
Oh, yeah.
That happened a lot to me because I was on the end.
Oh, yeah.
People grabbed my calf as they were falling over from being too intoxicated.
Yeah.
Yes. And you have a band yourself now, right?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. 50 Shades of Hay.
Yes.
Ooh. Playing traditional country music. Yes.
Nice.
I like it.
And your lovely bride also is a performer that you all do stuff together.
That's right, Wendy Newcomer. We have Good Old Timers Band, and we play down at Roberts. That's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And we still play with you in our band, the Hip Waiters, on occasion.
Yep.
When we can afford to bring the whole band out.
Yes.
Things are pretty pricey these days.
They are.
It's just to get the... Anyway, just to get the gas to go to
just
the gigs.
Just to get the gas to go to the gigs. It's true. It's true. So we really appreciate you taking your gas to come over here.
No
yes,
problem.
We do.
It's convenient.
Have some coffee.
Yes, some coffee and jam. So that was something we started, about a year ago? On Sundays? No, more than a year
more
ago.
More than a year ago. It was kind of during the pandemic.
Yes. When we weren't supposed to get together, but we got together.
Shh. Oh, foul.
We took COVID tests before and we would come and rehearse. Well, anyways, we started calling Coffee and Jam and putting it on TikTok. And so now this is sort of a bigger iteration of that where we bring friends in to play some music with us and get to know them even better.
Did you do your COVID test? Just kidding.
Yeah.
I think the COVID test is horrible when they shove it up your nose.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think there could be a more pleasant way to do it, don't you think?
We've learned better now. No, you don't have to stick it so far up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like to my brain. I swear, I have brain damage from the first one the lady did. She shoved me right
this
up against the wall.
Explains a lot.
Oh.
This is true. Well,
so it's that time, right?
Yes. Let's talk gear.
There we go. All right, well, let's kick it over to Ange. Do you have a question for Dave?
I do. I got a couple of questions. Okay. So, David, your dad, Buddy Spiker.
Yes.
Yes,
iconic, Buddy Spiker.
Iconic fiddle player.
Fiddle player in Nashville. Actually, in college, we listened to this one Buddy's album.
You did?
Yeah, constantly. Which one was it? Doing some other things while listening to, but anyway.
Oh.
I'm curious, David, why bass?
Well, my dad, being a fiddle player, he needed a bass player for his family band.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
And you stepped up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think it was actually the school play needed a bass player, and that's how it really started, was on electric bass, whatever. And then, because I didn't play upright bass until I got about college age, though my dad had bought me one. So I was right at 18.
Do they have baby basses? Like baby stand-up basses for little kids to learn to play?
It's still inconvenient because you still have to carry them around and stuff like that.
And you're still little.
Suzuki method on bass. Just kidding. Yeah, yeah.
It does exist, but most of the time I skipped that part, I'll just say. Yeah. I played fiddle like my dad.
Oh, before. You did play fiddle? Wow. Yeah. I did not know this.
Yeah, awesome. I'll play you a tune later.
Where's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we don't have a fiddle.
Oh, good. Good for y'all.
You play banjo?
Does he play banjo?
I don't play banjo.
Me either.
Great.
Now you can stay. I'm just kidding.
And curious, how old were you when you started playing bass?
That would have been 15. 15. Right. Yeah.
All right. We're going straight to the gear. It's right. Chicks with gear.
Yes, that's right.
Is it plugged in?
Is this thing on?
Who gave this toy to Julie?
This is my job.
She took it over. No one gave it to her.
So what's your live rig of choice these days? I'm sure it's gone through a few iterations. But
Yeah. Right now, I'm using a Fishman Pro Platinum EQ. Ooh. Yeah, just like
I heard that one.
That one.
Like the one back there.
Like the one right there. And the reason is it cool to show this? The reason I love this one for upright bass, it has what they call a low cut, a high pass filter, HPF.
Yes.
And this is essential for especially other instruments too. But on bass, even on bass, you actually don't want that low rumble. So and it has a nice tuner too that I like. Yes. That's the reason I use this pedal the most. I have a stack, probably like you guys, I have a stack of preamps and pedals and stuff like that, right? That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
But this is the if I have to grab one thing before I'm running out the door, it's this.
That's your one. Show the fine people what it looks like.
Oh, yes.
if you're taking a solo, it's got the boost, and it's got obviously a tuner mute, whatever. And it even has an EQ choice of either guitar or bass. And for mine, I'm obviously using on a bass. But the other thing I've changed, I wanted to bring up real quick, that I've added to this is I've actually added what they call a clicky pickup on my upright bass, so that when I slap, you hear that as well. Because the reality is that grabs what comes through the bridge on my piezo pickup on upright bass. Mm. But I need to, when I was hitting it, no, like I got to be on the Opry not too long ago, and they gave me a solo, and I realized you couldn't hear what I was doing.
Oh.
And so.
Oh, no, not hearing. That was about being on the Opry for solos. Sorry.
See, that's why Julie does the buttons.
We're taking away from both of y'all.
Clearly.
This is the calm camp on this
side. Okay. Excellent. So dual source.
Yes.
Correct.
The picky is under the fingerboard, and so that you can hear the slap bass. And does. Ah. And so that's a separate, so I have to have a second channel. So now I've been using either a Fishman blender or a D-tar, Solstice.
Oh, yeah.
Something like those that can grab a second input. And just on the clicky pickup, you roll off all the low end, and it's just that's the only sound it really makes is ticker, 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 ticker.
Oh,
but that's real important, though, because I'm playing those sounds, and if you don't hear those sounds through the pickup, the normal pickup.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite sounds.
I'm beating my hands for nothing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the people are like, why doesn't it sound like ticky-tacky? Why ticky, doesn't it do yeah. that sound?
And then I think I was at a Brian Setzer concert at the Ryman, and he had a clicky pickup, and I was like, I should just go ahead and I had blown it off because I was like, I didn't love that idea for a long time. Then I finally said, you know what? That's the sound that people are expecting to hear. And so
give the people what they want. Exactly. Come on. Yes, David. Give the people what they want.
Give them the clicky.
Give them the clicky.
So do you, now you said it's under your
Fingerboard.
So do you have to like have some sort of gummy? We had some interesting things with Deb's pickup that would never stay on. So I was just curious.
Well, since it's under the fingerboard, no one sees it. So I used whatever adhesive it came with.
I see.
And then immediately put Gorilla tape over the top of it so that it wouldn't come, you know, which is very sticky.
Kind of like Deb's octomandolin at the Christmas show.
Yeah. Sometimes pickups don't stay where they want to. Because you need a consistent. A lot of if your pickup changes in the slightest way, it changes the tone and everything. And you get it right. Where you want it. You want it to stay. So.
Stay, but especially on, I would imagine, bass like mandolin. If it's in the wrong place, it sounds like crap.
Yeah,
crap.
and all basses sound different, to be honest. So it's not like one thing works for everybody.
Right. Either.
Yeah. How many basses do you have? Quite a few. Probably. You have one with a naked lady on it. Oh, just kidding. She's got a little Hawaiian skirt.
Yeah, I've got the Betty Page bass. Yes. That's what I brought with me today.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, it's got gut strings. And so sometimes...
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
What happened?
He was trying to talk over the clock. The plus, people, please.
Calm yourselves.
I know.
I mean, please. The small room, we appreciate the high intensity, but let's face it, it's early in the morning on a Sunday.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
How much coffee did I have? Quite a bit. I'm sorry, Dave. Talk about your bass.
Anyway, I have lots of them, yeah. One's for classical, one's for jazz, or country, whatever, those kind of different setups.
Because you played for the Murfreesboro Symphony, didn't you, at one time?
Yeah, I went to college there back in 19, you know, and then... Yeah, so I got to, at the time, it was just part of the school.
David is fearless on bass. He will play any
yes,
style.
He will. Mm-hmm. And you play Arco beautifully.
Yes. Beautifully. Julie's very proud of herself because she said, Arco.
Nowadays, I don't get to play bowed bass much anymore, I'll be honest. Yeah.
Nobody likes it.
I don't even carry it around. And now, maybe at Christmas time, maybe I'll keep it in my case for... playing up on the housetop.
We might have a recorded song with Arco bass on it, a Christmas song.
We just happened to. Yes, that David Spiker played on.
Oh, he did. I was going to put the applause. Can I? Yes.
Now, we scared the crowd because we just chastised them, so now they're not clapping.
Sorry.
And so we actually have a new single coming out that David performed on.
Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. It's called, oh, yes. It's called What You Gonna
What
Do.
What You Gonna Do. It's been a while since we recorded that one.
David's like, wait.
I hope it's me.
Is it me? Yes. Yes, it was
it
you.
Yes, it is you.
As far as you know, it was you.
Yes. As far as it was Andy Moses.
No.
Running
no.
me through some pedals, some other pedals. Oh, no. Selector, which bass player do I want?
No. Oh.
So, could we?
Sorry.
This is definitely the David show, but I got a Brian Setzer story. You can always edit this out.
Okay.
A few minutes. So, I know Brian. Mm-hmm. Since you mentioned Brian, I know Brian Setzer, grew up with him in Massapequa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he.
Name dropper.
Yeah, exactly. And so, we had a little garage band, and there was another garage band, and.
A competing garage band?
I think his parents, his mother would drive Brian because he lived in a different part of Massapequa to play with them. He was like the ringer they brought in. And so he was great. We both took lessons from the same. Anyway, Brian was great playing jazz back then. And, you know, the whole Stray Cats. And I always, I was like, well, maybe, maybe I'll meet up with him one day, right? And so however many years went. About to name drop again. Pulling into a hotel one morning with Billy Dean on the bus. See another bus there, and I'm like, "Who is that?" They go, "That Setzer's big band played." So I go, "This is it, man. We're talking like 20 years later.
My moment."
I go in, I find the road manager, and all the band's checking out, paying their incidentals, And I tell him, and he goes, really? You know Brian? Yeah. I go, and he's going, really? And I go, yeah, I grew up with him. And he goes, well, he'll be down in a few minutes. So I see him down. I wait, and he goes, just wait. I sit in a chair. I wait. And he comes down. I go, hey, Brian. Start shaking his hand.
Andy Most.
He's like, doesn't ring a bell. Oh, that was it. And I started mentioning people in the neighborhood. He go, oh, yeah, Crazy Cat, Wayne Shirley, all the, you know, people that he played with. And it was very awkward.
Oh, no.
And, so I don't know Brian is the moral of the story.
He wouldn't know me by looking at me. Yeah. I can tell you that. He wouldn't know me, but I think he likes me.
Oh, he likes you?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's nice to me.
He is nice to you. That's awesome.
Well, they called me, and nice I played on that last record.
Yes.
Lots of slappy, slappy bass.
We like that.
So we like to talk about pedal boards a lot.
Uh-huh.
So maybe you could talk about your pedal board. What do you have on your pedal board?
Well, very minimal stuff. Like we talked about the preamp there.
Yes.
You always want to need a tuner because like, on the bass with gut strings, any type of weather change can, knock your strings out of tune, even more like excessively than even a regular guitar. Whereas like steel strings, funnily enough, you can go a long time without having to tune them, on the bass, assuming the weather's within reason, whatever.
So not on Mando though. That doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Mando is every 5 seconds.
Tune all the time.
Yes.
And the other thing is, most people don't care on the bass anyway. They're like, I just play. It's okay.
No one hears it anyway.
It is true. Sometimes I start playing. I'm like, what key am I in? I can't tell. Then I have to wait till the guitar player. I'm like, I'm in that key. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm just walking.
I use all the notes. So you have two things on your pedal board.
You don't have any delay, digital?
I don't, no pedal board at all.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Even on my electric bass, all I usually use is a bag's, saturation, slight, what do you call, fuzz tone, slight distortion. But that's very minor. Yeah. Even on electric, I do very, very little gear.
Well, I think it's good that you don't have to carry a pedal board because your bass is so humongo.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if you had to carry that and that, it would make your job even harder.
I have a funny picture of all of us trying to figure out where we're going to put your bass after we flew all the way out to Washington.
Yeah.
And we were all looked at each other. Where's that going?
Yeah.
That's not going in the van.
Was it in a big white case or was this the big?
I think it was the white case.
Or was this was this the Charlie Tour?
Yes.
The Charlie Tour, we had a big coffin, which was a a road case.
Like a Carlton case.
Anvil road case.
Yes.
Which is like a very, very sturdy and handy, and it was the size of a smart car.
We finally had to put it on on Charlie's bus because
and who's Charlie?
Charlie Daniels.
That's right.
Yes.
He had they actually had a semi full of gear, we put it with that semi.
Yes. Yeah. So I like the story what they did to your case one time because
with blue tape.
Mm-hmm. And it's something about what time is it, Big
what
Daddy?
What time is it, Big Daddy? I believe it was actually red tape.
Oh, you might have been right.
Because it was very important. Don't always trust your motel clock. It might not be right. And if you don't check that, you might be late for your show.
Yes.
Even though you're very early in a hotel across the street and you're walking to the venue going, why are they playing our song
without me?
And you start running towards the stage.
Yeah, we didn't have a choice. They're like, he's not here. You're going on. So we went on and we started playing. But then it was just like, it was kind of a magical moment when you just snuck in and started playing.
Yeah, I was in there by the first verse, but it was still, I ran very quickly.
A cartoon character.
No, I think the bass was on stage. We were ready. We were hit. We had sound checked and everything. But
it was still.
It was just. I was just like. I learned my lesson about hotel room clocks.
Yeah.
Back at the time, that would have been 99. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, Charlie's guys were pretty funny. They did not let you forget it anytime soon.
No.
What time is it, Big Daddy?
Yeah. Did they name you Big Daddy or were you already Big Daddy?
I had a bowling shirt that said Big Daddy.
That's right.
And that was like my stage shirt, and that's why they called me that. Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
I was trying to remember when that happened. You were tagged with that name.
Yeah. I don't have that shirt anymore. Now you're making me think
about it. We always call you Big Daddy.
Yeah. lost it in a move, I guess.
Yes.
Or someone took it and said, he should not have this shirt.
No. So you have anything upcoming that you'd like to talk about with us or share with the studio audience and all the people listening to this podcast?
I know one thing.
Mm. What?
It's his anniversary. As it is mine.
Happy anniversary to Julie and Kirk and to David and Wendy.
We just hit 12 years. What did you hit?
23.
You got me beat.
Holy cow. Wow. Those are both impressive numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. 23. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, congratulations. What are you all going to do for your anniversaries?
You know, go someplace nice, maybe. Maybe Applebee's.
Oh, Applebee's.
Maybe.
Is there an Applebee's still up?
We're going to Shoney's. Wendy loves a good buffet.
Coco's 25. I'm doing the math here. So.
She thinks she's 25.
Oh, she thinks she's 30. Right.
She is 14. Those twins are 14. They're counting the days till they can drive.
But how's that work? You've got twins. They each get a car or they have to share the car? Well,
they were discussing that. They wanted to know. They said, are we going to end up getting Rich's truck? So we also have a 16-year-old that's driving our truck. And they're like, we're getting the truck. We're not sharing a car. I'm like, well, you are probably going to have to share a car. Yeah.
Or you got 2 years to start saving, kids. Just get a part-time hustle. I'm just saying.
She's waiting for SWR and Cheeks with Gear to start paying her for all the extra stuff she's done.
You know who else is waiting to get paid? Us.
I did not say that.
I did.
Outstanding invoice in your inbox right now.
Yes.
From Andy. Well,
from Andy. Hey. Let's see.
Just a little.
2000 and what? back pay.
I think it'd be fun to tell the good folks listening that we reconnected with David and Jess and Andy and Greg Stocky almost 5 years ago. It'll be five. Well, it was 5 years ago in January.
Yeah.
That we had given up music. Julie and I had a lot of stuff going on personally in our personal lives. And about 5 years ago, we're like, what if we celebrated the anniversary of our first record with all these guys? And they were all still in town and they all still liked us enough to say yes.
Yes. Thank goodness. We did not burn a bridge. That's good.
No, and it's just been awesome. Just awesome to reconnect with these favorite people who had such a big impact on my life personally. When I moved to Nashville, I didn't know anyone except for Julie, and met all these fine people.
I got you.
And just all the creativity, the fun times, and just good humans. Got to meet good humans.
So we kind of cut David off.
We did?
Yeah, when we were asking, like, if there's some things coming up that he wanted to share with us, and I...
Oh, you cut him off.
I did say happy anniversary. But okay. If there was anything else you wanted to say.
Yes.
I don't have anything major. I mean, you can come see me at Robert's all the time. Thursday mornings, every other Friday and Saturday. There.
Let's knock that over. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
And you're always in the studio recording yourself and other people.
That's right.
Right.
I'm capable of doing the remote recording, right? If you want upright bass and you live in California, we can make it work.
That's right.
That would be fabulous.
That is sort of magical, right?
Yeah, it's easier than it used to be with the transfer of, you know, files, whatever, and stuff.
Very secretive.
Very secretive.
The secret files.
It is it is kind of funny when you have like the whole track, even on songs you're not going to play for, and you get people send you these tracks. I'm like, hey, I have access to their, I can listen to this guitar part by itself and solo it up. And suddenly I'm like one of those analyzers on YouTube going, oh, yeah, listen to that drum part. Listen to that groove. And then there's other times you're like, oh, they should have muted that.
Listen to the lack of groove.
Grooveless. Grooveless. Wow. That could be a name for a band. Grooveless.
I bet it's taken.
Probably.
That's right. Huge thank you to the David Spiker.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, thanks for having me here.
Yes.
And in our new tradition, yerbas.
Yerbas to everyone.
Okay.
Oh.
Cheers to David Spiker.
Cheers.
And his big bad bass.
Yes. Yerba to you.
Andy, Yerba to you.
Duke. Here we go.
Here we go. Yerba. Mmm. Oh. I got Rebel Berry.
I did too. That's because you're a rebel.
I got Enlightenment.
Ooh, a little Enlightenment. And I'm going to chase it down with a magic mind.
Oh.
Magic mind. Oh.
Debbie needs the magic mind.
That looks healthy.
Little adaptogens, a little lion's mane.
All right, I'm going to do it for the cause here.
Okay.
What is it?
All right.
It's supposed to help you focus better, get you in the flow.
Now you give it to me?
It's awfully green.
It has matcha in it.
It's not actual lion's mane.
Mushroom. Lion's mane mushroom. Yes, and adaptogens help you focus.
Anything that'll help my mind.
Yes, and I...
You still have that maker's mark in there.
We do have some maker's mark as well. Well, this was amazing to have you here.
It was.
Thank you so much for joining us.
And so,
you guys, settle down.
They were really excited that you were here,
too. And we were very excited. But until next time,
don't you worry about it.
There we go. Ooh, hello, Yerbas.
Yerbas.
Here's to the magic.
To the magic in your life. Blow all you want to.
Dance break.
Thank you.